We have had a wonderful day. It has been great. Our services this morning, worshiping God. Our singing this afternoon, our meal. I think we had 301 eat. That is fantastic. We had them everywhere, but we managed to get everybody fed. It was good. I was telling Jenny that the preacher I worked with in Texas, he hated casseroles, so he would have loved our meal today. And we used to have casserole fellowship just for him. But it was very good, and I enjoyed it. In fact, I'm just so full, I'm just about half asleep. But the singing helped get me awake. Thank you. I found that we're sitting right there at about 2:45 while you're in the light, and we all want to be in the light, right? That's hot light right there. And so... Thank you, brother. You know, today, this morning, we looked at, in the Bible class hour, we talked about, you know, looking at those people that have walked before us and trying to walk in their steps, trying to look at those people that have displayed lives of faithfulness to God and to follow them, to be imitators of them as they imitate Christ, and to ultimately, in our lives, follow those steps that Jesus has put forth in the sands of life, and like children trying to stretch our legs as far as we can to land in His footprints. This morning during our worship hour, we talked about living and walking, making new prints in the present day, today. That Christianity is an active today religion. There's no tomorrow, there's no yesterday, there's only today, and today is everything. And we need to learn to live for Christ today. And if we do that, we will be fine on all our tomorrows. You know, tonight, or this afternoon, I guess, I want us to not think about footprints before us or footprints we're laying down, but I want us to think about where our footprints are going as we talk about past, present, and future. Bible class this morning, we talked about Numbers 13 and 14 and how we saw that the Israelites failed. And that they didn't, number one, follow the prints of godly men. They didn't follow the men like Joshua and Caleb that said, we can take the land. It's a good land. God will give it to us. They did not follow those men, but instead they made their own path. And it was a path that led to destruction. Ultimately, those people were unable to see where their footprints were leading them. And their footprints were not leading them to where God wanted to take them. You know, God had delivered them from Egypt with powerful miracles. He had given them every reason to believe that the path that He had set before them would be the path that would lead to right. He had provided them a great leader, shown them great power. He had given them a destination and a home in the land of Canaan. And yet they failed in the present because they not only failed to see where they had come from, but they failed to see where they were going. And in the end, God would destroy them, bring ruin down upon their lives as they died out in 40 years of wandering, as He brought down that condemnation as we looked at this morning. I want us to look at something different tonight. Open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 26. I want you to see the path that God laid out for them. Because God showed them where one of the paths led. In fact, He shows them two paths in this text. We're only going to read about one, and then I'll just briefly summarize the other because it's very similar. But He lays out two paths, and He shows them where the paths are going. Beginning with verse 1, God says to them in Leviticus chapter 26, "You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image or a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you." And I want you to listen to this. Get ready, because here it comes. This is the path. This is what God is willing to give them if they'll obey Him. "If you will do this, if you'll carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. And indeed, your threshing floor will last for you until grape gathering and grape gathering until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. I shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. And your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn towards you and make you fruitful and multiply, and I will confirm my covenant with you. You will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. And I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you would not be their slaves, and I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. That's pretty good, isn't it? Those are pretty great promises, aren't they? You're going to have harvest year-round. There's something going to be growing. Something's going to be harvest. You're going to be able to harvest grapes. You're going to be able to harvest this. I'm going to make the land fruitful. I'm going to make it where there's no wild beast. I'm going to make your lives great. Your enemies do not stand a chance. One of you can chase 100. 100 of you can chase 10,000 away. And they will fall by the sword. I will take care of you, is what God is saying in this entire text. There's a path. There are steps right there for them to follow. And great promises. Is that what they did? Did they obey God so that He could give them all these things that He promised? No. See, the last part of Leviticus chapter 26 then talks about, if you don't, I will remove you. I will bring ruin down upon you, just like He brought down upon the Egyptians. What you saw me do to the Egyptians, I'll do to you. And so God makes it very clear. He lays out the two paths here for them. There is a path in which God says, I will bless you beyond what you can even imagine. I will give you everything you need. I will provide for you in ways that no one else has. And then there's another way in which, if you take this path, God says, I will bring destruction down upon you in ways that you cannot imagine. So God very clearly lays the paths out for them. They very distinctly made a choice about where they wanted to go, but they knew where the paths led. And they made a choice. Jesus, was saying the same thing to us when He stated in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter into it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. See, Jesus right there gives us two paths, right? And He shows us exactly where they lead. There is a broad way and a wide gate, and it leads to destruction. And He says many are going to go down that path. In fact, the vast majority are heading down that path to destruction. But He says narrow, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few there be that find it. Both ways. Both ends. And we make a choice today where our paths are going to lead. You know, as we consider where our footprints are going, have we considered God? Have we considered what God can do in our lives, the blessings that God will bring down upon our lives if we choose to walk in His steps? If we choose to follow His path, I mean, if He would do what He promised in Leviticus, imagine what He'll do today. As taking from the book of Hebrews, who constantly compares the old with the new, how much more will He do for us? How much more will He bless us as His children, that He will be our God and we are His people? You know, I think of Mary in Mark chapter 14, when she anoints Jesus there at the house in Bethany, and they're all upset at her for having wasted that perfume. And Jesus said, leave her alone. She's done a good thing. I love the end. He says, wherever this is spoken of, she will be talked about. See, she chose a path that led to her being immortalized by the Holy Spirit by being put into Scripture. Here we are nearly 2,000 years later, and we still talk about what Mary did, right? Because she chose a path of godliness. She chose a path in which she served the Lord. She chose a path where she understood things that the disciples still didn't understand 10 days before the day of Pentecost about Jesus dying. You know, 40 years from now, if the Lord has not returned and, Lord willing, this church remains here, what would they say of the path that we walked? What would they say about the church of Cary 40 years earlier? Will they say that we ventured forth and went forth on the path of God to bring honor and glory to God, to accomplish His purposes in the world, in our community, and in people's lives all around us? I hope that's what they say. See, I believe that the church here at Cary has a bright and glorious future ahead of us. Because I still believe, as Gabriel stated, that nothing is impossible with God. And I still believe, as God told the children of Israel and as He told others, that I will bless my people. I still believe what Apostle Paul said, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I believe if we have that focus and we are dedicated to the path that God has set before us, there is nothing impossible, there is no lacking of strength, and there is no lacking of blessings that we will ever know as God's people. Because those are the promises of God. Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus says over and over, do not be anxious, do not worry. Do not worry about what you're going to wear. Do not worry about what you're going to eat. I take care of the birds. I take care of the lilies of the field. Jesus loved to go from the lesser to the greater. He talks about birds and lilies, which are down here. And He goes, aren't you much more important than they? And I will take care of them. I'll take care of you. With one provision. Seek Him first and His kingdom. Walk His path that He has set forth for each of us. You know, we will never plan too big for God. We will never plan more than God can help. Our plans will always be far below what the Creator of the universe is able to work with and to bless. And if we want that bright and productive future, we must, number one, we must be obedient to Him. That's the thing that there in Leviticus that God made very clear. Number one, and first and foremost of all, you're going to have to do what I say. Keep my commandments. Put aside, put away all idols, and I will bless you. We must believe the great promises that He has made to us. So many times as Christians, we worry about all these things that Jesus Christ said, do not worry about, I will take care of your needs. And yet we worry. And what that shows us is that we don't believe. We need to say as the man in Mark chapter 9, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me better see the footprints that You've laid out before me. We must also look far and go through the many doors of opportunity that He opens before us. God is constantly opening doors of opportunity for us individually and for us as a congregation. We must have the quick thinking and the dedication to God to walk through those doors and make His purposes known and accomplished in our community, in our world. And then we need to dream as well, dreams worthy of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I've seen too many congregations of the Lord's church that dream small. They just want to accomplish little things. You know, you'll never accomplish any more than you dream to accomplish. And we may dream big, we may look to the stars, we may not reach the stars, but we'll get a lot closer than we will if we don't look and dream big. We need to dream big about accomplishing God's purposes. We need to dream big about bringing lost to Jesus Christ. And we can never do more enough of that, can we? We can never find too many ways to bring the lost closer to salvation. We need dreams that are worthy of the God who created the universe and all that is in it and all the blessings He can grant to us. If we do those things as a church, if we choose the narrow path and look to change the world for God, we have no way to comprehend how God will bless us in that great work as we bring honor and glory to His name. I think of Elisha. There are times when I doubt, and this text always comes to my mind, when I wonder and doubt what I'm able to accomplish as a preacher, what I'm able to accomplish individually as a child of God. And I think about what happened with Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha was in the city of Dothan. And the Aramean army came and they were looking for Elisha and they were told he was in the city of Dothan. And the army of the Arameans went and they surrounded the city. Oh, and Elisha's servant saw them that morning surrounding the city and he had a panic attack. Let's just put it like that. He was panicking and he didn't know what to do and he ran in to tell Elijah and Elijah said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them," right? I mean, you're looking here and you see all the way around the city this army that has it completely surrounded and Elisha's perfectly calm because he says, "Who's with us is more than who's with them." Then he prays. He says, "Oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the servant's eyes were opened and he could see the chariots of the Lord surrounding the army that was surrounding the town. And they were greater than him, than that army. You know, there are times when we need to pray, "Lord, open our eyes and let us see all that you can do. Lord, open our eyes and build our faith that we believe that you can make a difference in our church, in our lives, and in our world. Because he can." Individually, talk about each Israelite in our story of this morning, or Joshua and Caleb, it is the same. We need to make that choice. We need to pray to see. We need to use our faith to believe that God will make all the difference. You know, today we need to learn from the past. We need to act in the present. And we need to hope for the glorious future that God can bring to His people. And that He's always promised to bring to His people of all time. Whether it be Abraham, the Israelites, or the church. God has never lacked in His promises to take care and to bless those who come to Him. Those that are His people. So this afternoon, where are your footprints leading? Are they leading to the great blessings that God has promised to those that are His people? Those that He calls my people and I will be their God and they will be my people? Or are your footsteps leading to ruin? You know, when we look at it and we think about it, the answer is obvious. I don't want my footsteps to lead to ruin, but yet we still walk that path sometimes. We sometimes just don't think about where that path is leading. We don't think about the fact that it's taking us further and further away from the God that wants to bless us. Let's get back on the path today. Let's consider where we're going. And may the end of that road, may the end of that path and the end of those steps be heaven. This afternoon, if you're not a child of God and you want to become one, we hope and pray that you'll make that decision. We can assist you in any way with that. We hope and pray that you will let us come believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be buried in baptism, raised to walk a new life, following that path that ends in heaven with God. It is a path filled with blessings, blessings from a God who blesses His people. If you're a child of God, maybe you haven't had your eyes open. Maybe you've been blind to all that God will do for you if you'll just turn to Him. I pray God opens your eyes that you might see how much you need Him. We can assist you in that in any way. Won't you let us? Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?